All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 for the message tonight. I want to speak on the subject of the Holy Spirit again tonight, and I would like to read the account of Philip and the eunuch. So if you will look at chapter 8 in the book of Acts, and then we will start reading in verse 26. All right, the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." All right, so here's a guy that is on his way back to Ethiopia. He has been in Jerusalem, and now he is on his way back to Ethiopia. He has left Jerusalem and gone down the mountain, and he has gone out the plains and gone south, headed south, going to Africa, and he has passed Gaza, and he is out in the desert now, all right, past Gaza. And when you get past Gaza and Beersheba, it's just all desert, all right? So that's where he is. He's out in the desert in no man's land. Verse 28 tells us that he was returning. So he's going back to Ethiopia. He was returning. And sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Now, let me stop right here. This guy's from Ethiopia, and he does not speak Hebrew. He does not read Hebrew. And that's what Isaiah wrote his book in Hebrew. All right, so this kind of gives you an indication as to how long this guy would have been in Jerusalem. Most missionaries will tell you that it takes about 2 years to get on a field, learn the language, and adapt to the culture. So think of that. This guy is serious. He is wanting to know the truth. And he went to Jerusalem looking for the truth. And while he was there, he bought a scroll of the book of Isaiah. And now he is headed home reading that scroll. All right? Do you all see the magnitude of all this? I mean, my goodness. Amazing. Just absolutely amazing. This guy is serious. All right, now look at verse 29. It says, "Then the Spirit." You see that? "Then the Spirit." And that's capital S. So we're talking here about the Holy Spirit of God. "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip, what's the next word? I like that. Most people run the other way when the Spirit of God tells them to do something. They'll run the opposite direction, like Jonah. "Oh, no, you don't want me to do that. Boom, I'm out of here." No, then Philip ran. He ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, stop reading right there. You know the rest of the story. And it's just wonderful all the way down to the end of the chapter. The man got saved, and then he got baptized in the Mediterranean. You say, how you know that? There's no water down there. It's the desert. So the road went alongside the Mediterranean from Gaza all the way down to Egypt. So he said, see, here is water, the Mediterranean. What doth hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, nothing. If you believe, you can be baptized. And he said, I believe. And so they got out of the chariot, and he baptized him in the Mediterranean Sea. Wonderful story. Don't you agree? Amen. But I want you to notice something here. I want you to notice, and this is what I want to speak on tonight, divine appointments. The Holy Spirit and divine appointments. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to bless tonight. I pray you'll help us to get the point here this evening, and then stir our hearts for winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us a burdened heart tonight. And Father, I pray that the Word of God will have an effect upon us and stir our souls tonight. Put a fire burning in our bones. We pray and ask you to bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to speak to you tonight on one of the blessings of having a personal and blessed walk with the Holy Spirit of God. I want to speak tonight on what Pastor Larry Stainer called divine appointments. Larry was the first one that I ever heard call what I'm going to speak on tonight, call them by this name. I just called them God things before I came here. I would just say, wow, that was a God thing right there. Because God would lead, or God would do something where it was absolutely no missing that it was the Lord who did it. I mean, you'd have had to have just been blind not to see that the Lord was doing something. And I just always referred to them as God things. But Larry called them divine appointments. And I thought, wow, how appropriate. What a great word. What a great way to describe these things when they happen. A divine appointment is a miraculous way that the Spirit filled the Christians or fills a Christian who will then cross the path of someone who needs help or who needs salvation. That's a divine appointment. And I'm sure that Philip was somewhat surprised when the Spirit of God told him to leave the great revival meeting that was taking place in Samaria. And you can read about that in the previous verses with the crowds that they were having, with the number of people who were getting saved. And then the Spirit spoke to Philip's heart and told him to go down in the desert south of Gaza just to speak to one man, one fella from Ethiopia. That's amazing, but that's our God. And Philip was sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and he obeyed when the Spirit of God dealt with his heart. And when he got down into the desert, and when he found the eunuch and realized that God, the Holy Spirit, had prepared him for a divine appointment with a man who was primed and ready to receive Christ as his Savior. If you look at verse 29, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip did. And you know the rest of the story. The eunuch was sitting in the chariot reading a copy of Isaiah. And if you'll look down at verse 31 and 32 and 33, you will see that out of the 66 chapters in Isaiah, when Philip joined up to the chariot, the place where the man was reading was Isaiah 53. Out of all 66 chapters, when Philip got there, the man just happened to be reading about the suffering servant. And Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The man said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" Is this talking about the prophet? Is the prophet talking about himself or some other man? And you will look at verse 35. It says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." Jesus. And he led the man to Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That's a divine appointment if there ever was one. How wonderful. And how many divine appointments are there? I mean, they happen all the time. I want to give you a couple of stories that I hope will encourage you and be a blessing. When I was pastoring down in West Virginia, at the church, Twin City, in Nitro, West Virginia. They called it Nitro because during World War I and World War II, they made nitroglycerin there. That's where the town got its name. Union Carbide and Monsanto, they all had plants there, and they made nitroglycerin back in the day. And so I graduated from Nitro High School in 19-something. I graduated from Nitro High School. And then I ended up pastoring on the other side of town from where I grew up. Now, that's strange. That doesn't happen all the time. But I was local. I was a lot of people knew me because I had a paper route, and I went to Nitro High School. My geography teacher and my history teacher in the 7th and 8th grade was on my deacon board, Mr. Hicks. When I walked in and saw him, I straightened right up, just straightened right up. Yes, sir, yes, sir. While I was there, I was on the radio in the Kanawha Valley every morning at 7 o'clock. From 7 o'clock to 7:30, which is prime time, I was on the radio every morning, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every morning. And a lot of times I made the tapes during the week, took them to the radio station, and they just popped them in the cassette. But when things got busy, I didn't, when I had a bunch of funerals or when, you know, this happened or that happened, I could not make the tapes. So I would just go to the radio station and I would sit down at the microphone at 7 o'clock, the guy'd point his finger at me and I'd start. And I did that a lot because I just didn't have time to make tapes. And there was a spell there where for probably a month or so, every morning was just a live broadcast. Now, the amazing thing was how God blessed that. I did not realize it, but I got a call one day from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and it was from the guy that owned the radio station. And he said, according to the surveys, your broadcast is the most listened to broadcast on our station. And we would like to honor you at a dinner. And I said, no, I don't think so. And they said, oh, yeah, we want you to come, and we're going to give you a plaque and give you a gift certificate and make a big deal out of it. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. Just mail me the plaque. And the guy said, but sir, I said, no, man, this is not about me. This is about the Lord. I don't want any recognition for this. I just do it because it's working and people are hearing the gospel. And so let's just let it be done with that. Well, every year they would send me a new King James Bible, leather bound Bible, and they would send me a plaque, and they'd write me a nice letter. And a couple of times they sent me gift certificates to restaurants and stuff, and I was thankful for it. But here's what happened on that radio broadcast. On that month period, in several other months, I would just start preaching. I mean, get in there, good morning, folks. Now, let me take you right straight to the Bible, and boom, just start preaching. No respite, no song, nothing. Just go right at it. And many a time, I timed that thing so that about 25 after, I would go into an invitation. And going into the invitation, I did some weird things. One time I said, now, if you'd like to get saved right now where you are, pull off the road and pray with me and ask the Lord Jesus into your heart. And I said, now, if you did that, call the church and let me know. And we'd get four or five calls just about every day. Hey, I got saved this morning. Let Pastor Norris know. And I just, wow, praise the Lord. And all these folks, they started coming to our church. That's back in the day when you led somebody to Christ and they actually came to church. Oh, it was wonderful. Man, I mean, it was just amazing. And I said one time, I said, now, wherever you are, I said, wherever you are, bow your head right now. If you're driving, pull off the road. If you're jogging, stop and kneel down at the nearest tree. Just get your heart right with God. I said, now, if you did that, call me and let me know. Stop by the church and let me know. And people were stopped by the church. Hey, I got saved. Good, come to church and follow the Lord and believers baptized. And they did. It was amazing. Now, last summer or two summers ago, you may remember, I went down and preached their 40th anniversary of the church. And while I was down there, this fellow walks up to me. He says, do you remember me? And I said, well, I remember your face, but I mean, I don't remember your name. I'm sorry. He told me his name and he smiled real big. And he said, I'm the guy that was going down Interstate 64, heard you on the radio, pulled off and got saved on the side of the road. I said, I remember that. He said, here's my wife. She's saved now. Here's all my kids. They're all saved now. And all their husbands and wives are saved. And my grandkids are saved. This is all of us. And I said, praise the Lord. And that guy looked at me and he said, I just thought it was the neatest thing for you to say on the radio, pull over and trust Jesus as your Savior. He said, and I just did. I just did. Isn't that amazing, folks? That's a divine appointment if I ever heard one. Let me give you another one. Several years ago, I was going down from Baltimore to Nashville for the SWORD board meeting. And we had the meeting and weather came in while we were in the meeting. And I thought, wow, I'm never going to get out of Nashville. Never going to get out of here. Never going to get back to Baltimore. And so we went to the airport, got in the terminal, and the lady said, I'm sorry, sir, but your flight has been delayed. And I said, well, it is what it is. And so we went over and sat in the at the gate and waited and waited and waited, and an hour went by and 2 hours went by, and then she came over the intercom and she said, folks, I'm sorry, but the weather is such that we're going to have to cancel this flight. So I went over to the desk, and the lady said, sir, if you'll run down this aisle, go over this way and go to this gate, Delta has a flight going from here to Dallas. You can fly to Dallas and then fly to Baltimore, get you in about 12:30 tonight. And I said, all right, I'll take it. And so she set me up and she said, hurry, hurry, hurry. I ran as quick as I could. And Delta, I was flying Southwest, Delta gives you a seat assignment. And I looked down at my seat assignment as I was running, and I was sitting in a 5B, the middle seat. And so I got on the airplane, and there was this little divider, and there was like four rows of first class, and then the bulkhead, and I'm right there at that bulkhead with lots of leg room. Only problem was I was in the middle seat. And so I'm sitting there kind of griping, why we gotta sit in the middle seat? You know, don't they know who I am? Oh, that hurts, that hurts. And so I'm sitting there and I'm, you know, kind of fussing a little bit and to myself. And then here comes this little lady, just a little tiny thing, and she's weeping. And she comes and sits down in 5A, right there beside me. And she's weeping, and she's got a little tissue in her hand, and she keeps wiping her eyes with it. And I said, ma'am, I can't help but notice how upset you are. I said, listen, I'm a pastor, and I would love to be able to give you some words of encouragement and help you here. Could you tell me what's wrong? And she proceeded to tell me how her granddaughter had just been killed in a car accident. She was on the way to her daughter's home so she could attend the funeral for her granddaughter. And she said, preacher, my heart is broken. I said, ma'am, I understand. And I reached down in my bag and I got my Bible and I said, let me read you some words from Philippians chapter 4. And I started reading her the Bible. And I said, now, ma'am, let me ask you, if you were to die, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? She said, oh, honey, yes. She said, I know the Lord. I've been saved for years. I said, praise the Lord. She said, and my granddaughter's saved too. I said, oh, well, then let me show you what this says. And I took her over and showed her some more verses. And after a little while, she looked over and she patted me on the hand. And she said, thank you, son. Thank you. And I just sat back and I said, wow, that was a divine appointment right there. There was 200 some seats on that airplane. And God set me right there beside that little lady that needed some encouragement. All she could feel was pain. All she felt was hurt. And the Lord set me right there beside of her so I would share with her what thus saith the Lord. And then as soon as I thought that, she looked over and wiped her tears again, and she said, you know something? I said, what? She said, out of all these seats on that airplane, God put you right here beside of me. I said, ma'am, let me tell you the story. I wasn't even supposed to be on this flight. What? I said, yeah, and I told her the story. And now she's rejoicing and weeping, not because she's got a broken heart, but because she has a God that she can trust in. Oh, it was wonderful, folks. That's a divine appointment. That's a divine appointment. Have you had any? You know, sometimes the Spirit of God will move us positively. Oh, there's so many examples of that in the Bible. Do you remember the story of the bad Samaritan? You know the story of the good Samaritan, right? Well, the bad Samaritan is that woman in John 4. Do you know her story? I mean, you talk about a divine appointment. Boy, right there was one. Here she was waiting until the noon hour when the sun is at its highest. Nobody's going to be at the well drawing water and carrying those buckets of water back to their house. Nobody's going to be there at noontime. She didn't want to go during the rush hour, during the morning hours when everybody else was at the well. No, she waited until nobody would be there because she was ashamed. Ashamed because of the way she lived her life. And what happened was, when she got to the well, who was there? The Lord Jesus, exactly. And no doubt that was a divine appointment if ever there was one. Jesus was already there waiting on her so he could show her that she needed to repent of her sin and believe. And no doubt, folks, that was a divine appointment if there ever was one. You know, Pastor Larry used to say all the time, he used to say, you can never give the gospel to the wrong address. You remember that? You can never give the gospel to the wrong address. One time in January of 96, and do you remember what happened in January of 96? Oh, that blizzard. Yes, sir. We moved here in November of 95. And in November of 96, I was ready to move. Good grief. I mean, it snowed. You remember that? It started snowing Saturday night at 11 o'clock. We had a bunch of teenagers at our house that night. And I remember telling all of them, y'all better get home or you're going to get stuck here. And you're not getting stuck here because I'm not feeding you all weekend. All right. But it started to snow. And it snowed and it snowed. We came in for church on the early service, and there was about 20 of us. And so we had the service over in Baker. And then the national weather said nobody on the roads. The governor came on and said, everybody get off the roads and go home and stay home. And so that was on Sunday and Monday. When it was all said and done, we had like 4 or 5 feet of snow. I don't know if you remember that one, but it was a doozy. Well, on Tuesday night, when we came to visitation, Larry and I were the only ones here, which didn't surprise either one of us. I mean, how do you clear 5 feet of snow in one day? So Larry and I showed up. We were the only ones here. And he said, I have a food call. And I said, all right, let's go do it. And so we went down to down on Main Street and one of those houses where there's like 6 or 7, 8 apartments in the house. And we had an address, but when we got there, all the labels were jumbled and you know how people move in, move out and all this stuff. And so Larry said, and I had 2 hands full of groceries and he had 2 hands full. And so he sat one down, knocked on a door, and a woman came to the door. And Larry said, are you so-and-so? And she said, no, I'm not. And Larry said, well, we're looking for, and he pulled out the paper and said, we're looking for so-and-so. And she said, well, I'm sorry, but so-and-so doesn't live here. And then she started to cry. And I said, whoa. I said, excuse me, ma'am, why are you crying? And she said, well, my husband just left me this morning with these kids. We don't have a thing in this house to eat. And you show up with 4 bags of groceries. Now, I didn't have the heart to tell her, this is not for you. I just did not have the heart to tell her that. I looked at Larry. Larry looked at me. And Larry said, ma'am, we believe with all of our heart that you cannot knock on the wrong door. And that woman said, what? And Larry said, can we bring this stuff in and set it down? We'd like to talk to you a minute. She said, yeah, come on in. We went in there, set the food down, and Larry started, led that woman to the Lord, turned right around, led her 12-year-old daughter to the Lord, turned right around and led the 9-year-old boy to the Lord, and then we left rejoicing and then realized we didn't take any food to the person we were supposed to take the food to. So about 8:30, we came back over to the church, loaded up again, went down, knocked on every door until we found that family, and then led them to the Lord in a blizzard. That's divine appointments, folks. That's what we're talking about. Larry just said all the time, you cannot get a wrong address. You just cannot do it. Now, truth is, You can never take the gospel to the wrong address. Then sometimes the Spirit of God will move us negatively. Sometimes positively, but sometimes negatively. You're in Acts chapter 8. Go over to Acts 16 for just a second. Just go over a couple of chapters to the 16th. What happened to that wind? It was blowing like crazy while the choir was singing. Then it just quit. I probably jinxed it, didn't I? Sorry. All right, 16, look at verse 6. It says, well, let's go back and get 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. You know why? Because folks were getting saved every day. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were, watch this now, forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed, that means they desired, they thought about, they delved into, they considered, they essayed. We don't use the word essayed every day, do we? But that's what the word is, it's what it means, that they considered, they chewed it over, all right? They thought about it. They debated the issue. They essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. All right, now I don't have a map in front of me, but look here. Right here is where they are. They're right here. And they were wanting to go right. They were wanting to go, they were on the Mediterranean in what is today Turkey. And they're here and they're talking amongst themselves and they want to go right, they want to go east and go into the central part of Turkey. That was the desire, that's what was being discussed. But the Bible says the Spirit of God forbade them to go that way. And instead, Paul that night got a vision from Macedonia. A guy over in Macedonia going, hey, Paul, hey, guys, come over here and help us. And Paul said, that's what we decided to do. We felt God was in that. So sometimes the Spirit does not allow you. But realize, folks, that whenever the Spirit of God shuts a door, there will automatically be another door that is opened. And that's what happened here. If the Spirit shuts one door, He will open another door. You see, folks, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We simply have to trust the Lord to lead us to whom He would have us to speak. You remember in Acts 3, that poor man was sitting at the eastern gate, at the beautiful gate, and he was begging, and Peter and John just happened by. No, they didn't just happen by. That was a divine appointment. That was a divine appointment. And the Bible says, as they passed, the man said, do you have any alms for the poor? Alms for the poor? Now, folks, listen. He was sitting just outside the gate because he was unclean. All right? He's got an infirmity. And they viewed him as unclean. He could not be inside that gate. That would be on the Temple Mount, and that would have been a no-no. So he is right outside the gate, hoping to get the spiritual people as they're coming to go up to pray. And so as they come by, alms for the poor. Do you have any alms for the poor? And back in Judaism, like Catholicism, you get points for helping poor people. All right? You with me on that? All right? Without getting everybody mad. But you get points. And so so that's why they would sit there. And somebody every morning would come and drop him off at that gate. And then he would bring his little lunch, you know, and he'd sit there all day and beg. And then in the evening, they go pick him up and take him home. And he would sit there, alms for the poor. Well, here comes Peter and John. Now, they're preachers. They ain't got no money. And so Peter stopped and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And boom, the guy gets up. And he's been crippled for years. And he gets up and starts jumping around and having a time. Go back to chapter 4 for just a minute. Acts chapter 4. And look at verse 23. Acts 4. We'll get to tail end of this story because there's something here I need you to see. In chapter 4, verse 23, watch. It says, what happened was, they were brought before the Sanhedrin. They were brought before the council. This man jumped up praising the Lord, and what happened was his rejoicing ended up getting Peter and John arrested and a good whooping from the Sanhedrin. Isn't that awful? You whip people for doing a good job? I mean, they helped this man. He had been crippled. He was sitting there begging, and they raised him up, and they arrest Peter and John for it. Now look at what happened. Verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Wow. You say, wait a minute. Yeah, I know. They get whipped. They get punished. They spend the night in jail and get the tar beat out of them. And then they come together and praise God for what had happened to them. You know what we do? We cry and somebody slammed the door in my face. Well, nobody beat you. Nobody put you in jail. Nope. Read on. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Wow. They're getting punished. They're getting persecuted. They're getting whipped for speaking the gospel and preaching and winning souls. And instead of quitting, or instead of getting mad at God, instead of just throwing in the towel and saying, fooey on this, they pray and said, Lord, give us more boldness. Give us more boldness. And man, that's what we need. Just holy boldness. I wish once somebody would just stand up and say, I'm on the Lord's side. I'm on the Lord's side. and just stand for the Lord. Notice they did not pray and ask God to deliver them from the persecution. No, they asked the Lord to give them boldness in the persecution. Whole world of difference. Then lastly, divine appointments are the greatest appointments you can have. They're just the greatest appointments you can have. I think I probably told you this story, but when I was at that church in Metro one Sunday night, and man, the church, it was, you know, it was exciting, and people were getting saved, and it was packed to the hilt, and God was blessing. And one Sunday night, I don't even remember what I was preaching on, but I didn't plan to say this at all, didn't plan it at all, but somewhere in the sermon, I walked over, I remember walking to the right, and I stood at the top of the step, and the building was much like this one, only a whole lot smaller, but it was a round, you know, auditorium-like, and I walked over to the right-hand side, and I was just, man, I mean, just, you know, going at it, you know. And I walked over there, and I started just pointing my finger like this. And I said something to this effect. Now, this was a long time ago, and I'm just, it's something to this effect. But I said, you know who you are. And I said, you go out to that 7-Eleven, and you buy that old Pabst Blue Ribbon beer, and you bring it back to your house and you sneak it downstairs because you don't want your wife to see it because she knows you're a drunk. I said, you hide it down between the plywood and the wall in your basement. And I said, your wife may not know it's there, but God knows it's there. You sorry thing, you better get right with God. And then I just walked back over and went back to where was I? And just went on with my notes. Well, we gave the invitation, and man, down the aisle comes this guy running. He's about 50 years old, and he's running down the aisle. And he goes, I got to get saved. I got to get saved. And he hit the altar, and one of our staff came over and led him to Christ. And they were filling out the card on him, and I walked down, and I said, sir, so glad you got saved tonight. He looked at me, and he said, how'd you know? I said, what? He said, how'd you know? I said, how'd I know what? He said, how'd you know that Pabst Blue Ribbon is my favorite beer? I said, I didn't know. Yes, you did. Somebody told you. I said, no. He said, how'd you know I hid it down between the plywood and the wall? I said, I'm sorry, sir. I said, I was just preaching. I mean, I guess the Holy Spirit told me. He said, how'd you know that I sneak off and go to the 7-Eleven to buy it? I said, sir, I didn't know, but there's somebody that does know. And that man got gloriously saved. Of course, everybody that gets saved gets gloriously saved. You see, when the Holy Spirit makes an appointment for you, it's going to be good. Going to be good. Let me tell you one more. A couple of years ago, about two or three years ago, I was sitting in the office. It was a Saturday morning, and it's been a couple of years, probably 2 or 3 years ago. Well, when you call the church, if you hit 306, that's my extension. Okay? That's my extension. But it does not ring at my desk. It rings at Lynn's desk. And then Lynn says, so-and-so's on Park 1 and wants to talk to you, all right? So before we got the new phones, the old phones, when 306 when a call came in on 306, it had a different ring than all the other rings. So when that ring came in, we all knew, I knew, and Fran knew when she was my secretary, and Lynn knew after Fran left, and that call was for me. It was on 306. So I'm sitting at my desk Saturday morning. I'm working on Sunday's sermons, and that ring came in. So I thought, well, that's for me. So somebody took the time to go through the directory and find out that my extension was 306. So I got up, went out into the office, and said, "Hello, can I help you?" And this fellow said, "Is this Pastor Norris?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "You don't know me." I said, I said, "No." He said, "You don't know me." Gave me his name. I said, "No, I don't know. Am I supposed to know you?" And he said, "No." He said, "You're not." I said, "Well, how do you know me?" And he said, "You're going to find this hard to believe." And I said, "Well, probably not. You know." I said, "Tell me your story." He said, "I live in the suburbs of St. Louis." And I said, "Yeah, I have a couple of friends from the St. Louis area." And he goes, "Oh, do you really?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Tell me who." And I told him who it was. And he said, "Well, strangely," he said, "I now go to," and he gave me that guy's church. And I said, "Oh, great." And I said, "So how do you know me?" He said, "Well, I got to tell you how I got saved." I said, "All right, I'm listening." He said, "My wife and I frequent yard sales. And we were at a yard sale a couple of years ago. And we were looking at all the stuff at this one yard sale. And there was a shoebox full of cassette tapes." And he said, "I stopped and I looked at them and held them up. And it said, all it said was, Pastor Norris, Church of the Open Door, Westminster, Maryland, and the phone number." And a lot of them, he said, were handwritten. And it would say, Pastor Norris, and then the sermon title. And he said, they were only $2, whole shoebox full of tapes. He said, "I thought maybe it was music, somebody singing. So $2, I said, "Oh, yeah, no problem." He said, "I threw $2 down, took the box." He said, "Ma'am, was I shocked when I put him in the CD player, or in the tape player?" He said, "I was floored." He said, "I got in the car and I popped one of them in, and all I heard was, open your Bible, please. Turn in your Bible, please." And it was a whole box of you preaching. He said, "I listened to every one of them." He said, "There was one in particular. And I noticed this one's different than all the rest." He said, "This one was strange. And I finally figured it out. You were preaching somebody's funeral." He said, "You told a story about the rich man and Lazarus." I said, "Yeah." He said, I realized that I needed to get saved." And he said, "Right there in that sermon, you said, now, if you would like to trust Jesus as your Savior, pray with me right now." He said, "And I did. And I got saved." He said, "The next tape that I popped in, you said, not 2 minutes into the sermon, now that you're saved, you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and get yourself in a good, solid, fundamental, Bible-believing, independent Baptist church." He said, "That's when I went to the Yellow Pages, and that's when I found my church." And he said, "I just now have grown to the place where I just had to call and thank you." I said, "Sir, I didn't do that. God did that. That's a God thing. Isn't that amazing, folks? That's the God we serve. So how does a Christian have the Holy Spirit make such divine appointments for him and her? I'll tell you how it's done. Real simple. You ready? Yield. Just yield. You know, there are all kinds of people out here that need the Lord, that God's working on. He's not willing that any should perish. There's all kinds of folks out here. God's working on them. Why don't you just yield yourself and say, okay, Lord, send them my way. Deborah told me this morning, Deborah Newbeck, she said, Pastor, the young man that came to break down George's hospital bed. You know, George passed away last Sunday night. And she said, the young man that came to break down George's hospital bed and take it back, said he just looked like he needed somebody to talk to. She said, you know, my husband, he's now in heaven. What about you, sir? He stopped and, what do you mean? Well, my husband, when he died, he went straight to heaven. Let me show you what the Bible says. And in just a little bit, that boy bowed his head and trusted Christ as his Savior. That's a divine appointment. But you see, somebody's got to be yielded who is going to recognize that divine appointment and who's going to capitalize and actually give the gospel. There's nothing like them.